I gotta tell you, I'm really sorry about this because we're having much too much fun before we got on camera. And we had all our fun already, so the interview will probably be dull. There's nothing left to say.
There's no probably about it.
But I got to tell you who I have here. I have Mr. and Mrs. Mark Silvestri, Bridget and Mark. And these two are one of the most glamorous couples I know, as well as the most attractive, and I'm not referring to him. And Mark Silvestri, of course, is the guy who, he's a comic book publisher, and he created Witchblade, the best artist I know. And what's the name of your company?
Top Cow Productions.
See, it sounds like I'm being polite, and I forgot the name.
That's he all. Did.
And now that we're here, I've said my bit. I don't have anything else to say. Yeah. So thanks for watching. And really, we'll do this again next time. Peace. Luckily, this kid has all kind of... I want to show you something. All these cards have questions to ask Mark and Bridget. We're not going to have time, so why don't we just scramble them, do them in any order you want.
I already say I have no answers for those.
Yeah, no answers for these. All right, well, how about this one? All right, so how did you get into comics?
I have no answer for it. I'm sorry.
No, don't remember.
You know, it's...
You could say reluctantly.
Oddly enough, it is, because I needed a job. Reluctantly, I needed a job. This is... sacrilege of what I'm going to say right now, but it's true. I didn't really read a lot of comic books when I was a kid.
Ooh.
Yes, I know. Ooh. I know.
That when you were a kid, they were writing on walls of caves. They didn't have comic books.
When you were a kid, they didn't have caves.
People said that, said that to me so often, I wanted to say it to somebody.
Yeah. You feel better now?
Much better.
Yeah, okay. you know what? It's my cousin was a huge comic book collector. Huge. And we were just kids, and I would go to his house, and I would like check out the comic books by Stan and Jack and all these guys. Like, and I would pick up a book and I go, wow, this looks really, really cool. But consequently, because I would just read comics when I visited my cousin, I never read complete arcs of stories. I read individual ones.
Short interest span.
Still today. Still today.
In fact, he's liable to walk out in the middle of a sentence.
So anyway, this is a nice place. My interest was always sci-fi, fantasy, and horror and stuff like that when I was a kid. Come around 20 years old, and it's like, geez, I better get out of the house. You know, what can I do?
You were still in the house at age 20? They couldn't get rid of you.
I was still in the house at age 40. Are you kidding? Yeah. But, my cousin said, hey, it's like DC Comics, they're running this talent search. It was just a gimmick back then, obviously. It's like they're looking for new people to draw comic books. And this was in 1882.
Don't look at me for help. I don't know dates. I can't remember dates.
Back when you were a kid in the 1800s. 1882.
In the 1600s. Yeah.
I was giving you a little help there, Stan. And he said, you know what? Give it a shot. And I'm thinking, wow, okay. Comic books. You get to stay at home. You get to draw pictures. And they pay you for it. I'm in.
So and you've been drawing before then?
Look, here's my training in art. In high school, the art class had 32 students in it. Three of them were guys. Sign me up. That was my incentive for drawing. It's like, okay, so the answer
best
is no.
Incentive I can think of.
Right? Right, exactly.
His mom also told me that he was actually drawing on the walls in his crib. Yeah. So he's been drawing... And she let him draw on the walls in the house and let him draw.
Was he any good at that time?
I messed everything
up. pretty much crayoned the whole apartment.
No, I did. And it's one of the few memories I have as a child. Well, in general. It's just literally drawing circles around everything. But, 6 months before this thing.
But are you literally self-taught?
Yeah, completely.
And you're that good. That's amazing. No, yeah. I kid around a lot, but you are damn good as an artist. As a guest on an interview show, you're
not
nothing,
so much. Yeah.
But you're a great artist.
I'll take what I can get. Look what I got over here.
We're going to get to Bridget later. Say what you can now, because we're not going to give you a minute in a few minutes.
No, I'll get ready to switch chairs anyway. I think most of the people in our business are kind of self-taught. So it depends on what your early influences are as to where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, my early influences were guys like John Buscema.
He was the best.
Wasn't he, though? Nobody could draw somebody just sitting in a chair like John Buscema could.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like,
well, that's because John Buscema loved to sit in chairs. I very rarely saw him standing up. He asked him to walk somewhere, he'd hit you.
And that's, I mean, that's, that makes a lot of sense in our business, because that's all we do is sit around and just do things, you know. And but for me, it's like, yeah, it sounded like a really easy gig. And about 6 months before I went to this show, which was Chicago, back in 81, 82 convention, I used to live there, grew up in Chicago, I started to put together a portfolio. And 6 months later, I went there, showed my stuff to, I think it was Joe Orlando.
Oh, yeah?
Back then, yeah, yeah. And a week later, I was working for DC Comics.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, how did they let you go?
They didn't even know I was there. I was just, honestly, it's like, I remember making my first phone call as a pro, quote unquote, and going, how big should I be drawing? What kind of paper do we use? Like, what, and who do I send it to?
And what the hell am I drawing to begin with?
What do I do with this script thing? You know, because back then it's like they just wrote a story and you had to break everything down into pages, and it's like I had no idea what I was doing. But I did those short anthologies that nobody read, like House of Mystery and stuff like that. And a year later at the same convention, ran a Jim Shooter, and went, hey, here's my stuff. I'm looking for another job. And I was with them ever since. You know.
It's a shame you hadn't gone to Marvel first, because I think you would have been appreciated there. You wouldn't have been well treated or paid well, but you'd have been appreciated.
Yeah, at least I would have gotten some phone calls.
But the big thing, the big thing was when you went to Image.
Yeah.
You helped form Image, I believe.
Yeah, that was a point in my career where I had reached the pinnacle of comics. You know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, the highest you could get was working with Chris Claremont on the X-Men.
You're right.
And that was it. And it was like, there was nothing beyond that. You know, and I'm going, and this was before people really started to do a lot of creator-owned stuff. Like Frank Miller was doing it already.
Yeah.
John Byrne kind of tried a couple things with that. And Neil Adams had been doing some stuff on his own. But otherwise, it wasn't really something that you did. It wasn't an option. You had DC, but primarily you had Marvel. And it's like, okay, if you're
Excuse me, we had Marvel, and incidentally, we had DC. I mean, if you're going to say it correctly.
Did I not say primarily?
Yes, but
I said primarily.
Needed a little more emphasis.
Emphasize.
All right. You had Marvel, which was created by a genius called Stan Lee. And then
Can't
you had
doubt
some
it.
Other companies.
Can't deny it.
Does that work for you?
It's a truth.
All right, can I stay another few minutes in the interview?
Yeah, but make it fast. I want to get to Bridget. Man, I didn't know he's such a big talker. You may have to change seats in a minute.
You told me you had nothing to say before we got
That's
on
That's right, but I want to hear what she has to. I want to hear what she thinks of Mark Silvestri.
You don't want to hear what she thinks.
And I want to see her fingernails, too. I want
to
show
her
fingernails.
Oh, we have to show those. Look at those.
We got
to
get some close-ups
cool.
of those.
Yeah, those are for real.
Those are so cool.
No, you got to explain them. You don't just hold them up. There's a story behind
it. It's a whole technological
make believe you, Mark. Talk too much.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, no, you don't want to get her started either. Yeah, you guys are done.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, since you said there was a talent search, I had actually read an interview with you where you said you guys were doing a talent search now. Is that right?
Yes, we are. Well, one of the things when Image started 20 years ago, which is like hard to believe, we had these studios. There was Homage, which was with me and Jim Lee and Will Sportasio.
No, with Jim Lee and me. My God, you're a big businessman. You're the head of a company. All over the world, people are listening to you.
If I were those things that you just said, I would not be sitting at this table right now, okay? I'd still be sleeping. I'd be like, whatever.
My luck, he showed up.
I showed up. Like, I screwed everything. Yeah. But, yeah, we had a studio situation, which we still do. And one of the things which really kind of surprised me, I was not expecting this in my career, was teaching up-and-coming artists and developing that talent. Because like I said before, it's like I didn't even know what size paper to work on and when I started in comic books. And with a working studio where you have all these young guys coming out of houses and homes and college and what have you, getting into comics with this raw talent, you put them all in a room, and just amazing things start happening through osmosis. And the little that I've learned in my career, you know, the very little that I've learned in my career.
Why does he point to me when he says the very little?
Yeah. No, I've seen Stan in the shower. There's nothing little about Stan.
You know, damn right.
Yeah, they call him the man for a reason.
I don't really know that I want to do any more interviews with guests that I have to talk to like you. And so tell me more about what...
It's good for your stretch.
Don't you have a cushion I can sit on?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
Like
sorry
a high
for the
chair? How about a high chair? I can just scooch down a little bit if you want. How's this?
Well, if you were considerate, but obviously you're not.
I have this sinking feeling.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, but it's great because you bring in these guys that just raw talent, amazing talent. And I think talent today is just, to me, and I've been in this for 30 years. You've been in for like, 20 years?
Forever.
Yeah. But the talent today has reached such a level. You know, and it's not just because of comic books, but it's all these other mediums that require graphic skills. Gaming, you know, just CGI in general. All these ways that artists can now make money that they never used to. You know, it's like the last thing your mother wanted you to be was an artist. They wanted you to be a doctor or, God forbid, a lawyer.
Now, please, God, let him be a comic book artist.
No, you never got that, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's like...
I'll tell you how comics were unrespected when I was young. I would be at a party somewhere, and somebody would say, what do you do? I figured, oh, no, I'm not going to tell them. Say, oh, I write stories, and I walk away. But they'd follow me. Stories for what? For who? Well, for magazines. What kind of magazines? At some point, I had to say comic books. They would swivel around, turn on the heel, and walk away.
Exactly.
But today, I'm at a party. Somebody sees and recognizes me. Excuse me a minute, Mr. Obama. That's Stan Lee over there. North they go. That's how comics have changed.
Yes,
comics, and thanks a lot to the great movies that have come.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, people are suddenly aware of these characters and these comic books because of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I, who have nothing to do with the movies, take a lot of credit for it. And that's how insane the world is.
Well, it's those cameos
it's
that
cameos.
You do.
Yes.
Well, that's I'm the king of the cameos, obviously.
You think Avengers would have made $1 billion if it weren't for you being in there? Come on.
You have never asked me to do a cameo in one of your stories.
Oh, I always play
we'll talk
the
about
guy.
That after the interview, if that's okay with you. I don't want to bore these people with negotiating. They're not lawyers or accountants.
I want you to hook me up. No, it's true. And it's like
I thought we'd never get to her.
We're going to get to her because it's a great segue from what you just said. Because Bridget, actually, when we, for I don't know how long it was, but she didn't know that I did comic books.
You met the guy and didn't know he did comic books?
No,
well,
because
Stan,
like you.
He introduced himself as a producer. He had just gotten Witchblade on the air, which was, I guess, a huge feat at the time.
You know,
and he didn't want to say, I do comic books.
I can
understand
why.
We've been dating
because I wanted this.
But you know something?
For the longest time.
For women, the word producer is such a magic word.
Yeah,
hello, what do you do? I'm a producer. Sorry. God, you're handsome.
All right. God, you're tall.
Well, I had kind of, we had an acquaintance. I had met him at the gym, and I had kind of known him. And he, when I said, what do you do?
Right.
Producer. And then we started dating, and I went to his office. And it was spread out, and it was, you know, the desk with the computer and a sitting area. But then there was this big other table, like a scripting, another drafting type of table way in the corner. And I was curious as to why it was there and what he was doing. And I started to wander over there, and he's like trying to, come look at, what I'm doing on the computer. And I wandered over, and I was like, whoa, what is this? Who did this? It was a drawing of some sort. And he's like, still poo-pooing. Oh, no, come look at, we've got the newest, we want to take a look at these breakdowns of this. And I'm like, who did this? That's just something I worked on a little while ago. And people still to this day go, come on, you had to know. I said, I really didn't. And we were in Vegas at a party. He asked me if I wanted to get married. I thought he was joking. I'm like, yeah! And I said, oh, you're serious?
Yeah.
And we did.
2 o'clock in the morning.
We did.
In our pajamas.
We went and got married. I have a picture. I can show you. It's in my purse. And 2 weeks later was Comic-Con. So that was my first...
That
ever.
Was our honeymoon.
Our honeymoon was Comic-Con.
Oh, you couldn't pick a better place.
It's true.
I get there, and, I'm walking around, and I'm thinking, Comic-Con, oh, my gosh, I get to dress. Oh, I'm going to dress up. It's going to be so much fun. I had a costume made, and I came home to show it to him, and he goes, it's a family show, honey. You can't wear that. I said, what? What do you mean I can't wear this? This is what I, you know, sometimes when I go to conventions and, you know, we're going, you know, in the booths and stuff.
She used to be a lingerie model.
No.
So she was used to
You
like,
have to wear pants.
Not wear
I said,
pants.
Oh, okay, well, pants. I'll wear pants. So I wore pants and I was walking around in my cow print bikini top and my hat and my sparkles. And people would come up to Mark and go, Mark, oh my gosh, remember
Who's
when
that?
We met? Back in 1991 at some place, and he's always so gracious and kind, and it's the first time ever I felt completely invisible.
In that outfit?
Completely.
You know what? That's
yes.
Such BS. It's
no,
not
it's
funny.
So true.
Because no one even knew I was there.
No, that's not when, true at
no,
all.
No, it is true.
It
you,
is
you
not.
Completely drove traffic to our booth. But
well, that's because they thought I was the booth babe. They had no idea I was his wife.
No, I remember when Jim Valentino, who's one of the image partners, I introduced Jim to Bridget, and I go, this is my wife. And he, like, looks at me and goes, that's your wife? Yeah, that's my wife. It's like, okay, well, so the producer work trick worked. Yeah, but like you said,
always.
It's changed. Because 20 years ago, when you asked people about comic books, they knew what Spider-Man was, they knew Batman, they knew Superman.
And that was it.
And that was it. Yeah, that's all they knew.
But the thing that I'm really fascinated by, you two in so many ways are so similar to my wife and me, because we met, she didn't know what I did, and we got married in Reno. You got married in Las Vegas, we got married in Reno.
You
and
did.
Then I took her to her first Comic-Con.
Did
she
you?
Said, get me out of here.
Yay!
Yeah, so it's
so
all
what'd you tell her that you did for a living?
Well, she finally found out. Yeah. She married me anyway.
Yeah, but it was already too late. You steal the deal, right?
You know what I wanted to ask you about? Cyberforce.
Yes.
And how you did that, you relaunched that through Kickstarter.
Yes, we did.
So, I mean, do you think that's sort of the wave of the future, getting things produced?
See, that's from one of these cards.
Uh-huh.
That's why these cards
oh,
are so
down.
Useful.
Is the answer on here, too?
No.
Yeah, here's your answer.
Okay.
You were supposed to have memorized it.
Yeah, I'll read this. No, Stan is a legend.
No, that's the other one.
Oh, okay. Cyberforce was a book that we launched with Image Comics 20 years ago. Creator-owned stuff, and it's like how we all like just changed the whole paradigm of how comics are published and all that. We can talk about that later. But so 20 years later, it's like, wow, what could we do that would be cool to like really mark our time? You know, 20 years is a big deal. You know, if it was 5 years that Image existed, like people would go, oh, that was a nice flash in the pan, even 10 years. But 20 years, Image is now considered a legitimate piece of pop culture history.
Took 20 years.
Yeah, it took 20 years for us to do that. But since we didn't go away, you know, we thought, okay, what can we do to celebrate 20 years with Top Cow Productions, you know, part of Image Comics? And it was, oh, let's bring Cyberforce back. It's like, well, you know, people do that. You know, people bring Cyberforce back. And one of the things that we've always done at Top Cow and Image is we've always done things different. Sometimes different good, sometimes different not so good, but always different.
Different is the most important.
And right, I mean, otherwise people don't notice, and otherwise what's the fun in it, right? It's like, why do we do what we do unless it's different? So we were thinking, what could we do different than anyone else? And what turned out to be really cool and different was, why don't we give away Cyberforce for free? You know, why don't we try that? It's like, well, because we don't have any money for that. Like, oh, okay, well, why don't we try it this way? Let's do it through this social funding Kickstarter. You know, why don't we just put it out there, have everyone kind of be part of comic books. You know, they can just be a piece of it. They can have a part of a comic book production. So we put it out there, and it's like, look, this is what we want. We want your help, because we want to try something different. We want to put Cyberforce out, full color, full everything, for free. Not just one issue, not just two, but for 5 issues for free. Put it out in the comic book shops, even online. Like, we even went to all the, you know, people that were going to steal it anyway and said, you know,
that's,
just take it.
That's why you lost so much money and were so desperate you had to come on this show. Now I know.
Look, that $5 that you guys pay is going to tip the valet. So.
They're going to finish.
No, but so we did that as a big experiment. No one had ever really done that before. And again, it's because, well, that's why we should do it. We have no idea if it's going to work ultimately, but so far it's been an amazing response. We've already had one issue come out. And it's great because You know, you have the fans coming into a comic book shop.
Absolutely.
And that's a big part of what we wanted to do. It's a very fast-changing world in publishing, obviously.
You've noticed.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Have you noticed how few comic book shops there are now, too?
Well, you know, like a third as many as we had when we started, you know, if that much.
Yeah.
You know, that's being generous. You know, so we're thinking, maybe this is some way, you know, we can get people back into a comic book shop. You know, what's it going to hurt you? There's at least one free comic book, and that frees up another $3 to buy another comic book for somebody else even. You know, we don't care, except...
Oh,
you know.
I would care.
Well, we do care, but... So far, that plan's been working really well, and all the fans have been really appreciative, and we've had support from all the retailers, which is really important.
No, because, it's a great idea.
Yeah, and, you know, the retailers have to pay a little bit for those books, too. So, you know, we're thankful to them for helping out and being part of this program, but... Whether or not it's the wave of the future, we don't know. It's worked for us. And again, it's like, why not take a stab at it? You know, it's not something that another publisher might try, but you know, we're light on our feet. We're a small operation, boutique. We can try that. So far, so good.
That's pretty cool. And I also want to hear about the darkness.
Ah, the darkness. Yes. Stan, do you care? No.
I'm not listening. I'm just I'm thinking what I'm going to ask my next guest. I have to be prepared in advance. But you go ahead. Have your interview. Go ahead. Do whatever you want. Okay.
The darkness.
Do you realize you're speaking to the real Jackie?
No, we don't want to talk about that either.
Yes, we do.
No. Anyone who's read that book, you don't want to talk about it.
The darkness.
Yes, the darkness.
The darkness.
The darkness. Darkness has been one of our most successful franchises. We launched that character out of Witchblade, which was also and still is one of our most successful franchises. Witchblade has had live-action TV show, animated show. We've got some news coming up for that, which I can't talk about. But
wait till Spielberg does his version.
That'll be pretty cool. Go ahead, do it.
I thought you were going to say, how did you know?
How did you know?
Don't tell anyone, Stan.
Stan has his fingers on the pulse of everything. Or he's just making crap up. But, The Darkness we launched out of Witchblade back in the mid-90s. And we've had two very successful video games made off of it. Great games. You know, in fact, the first Darkness game still has a moment. I won't be a spoiler in case someone has not played it. I know you're a big gamer, Stan. But
The biggest.
Yeah, big gamer. Yeah, you know, Pac-Man. Yeah. Have you reached like a million yet on that?
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the first video game still has a moment in there because it's very story-driven, which is one of the first story-driven video games out there that people still talk about as being emotionally wrenching. You know, people actually have written me and said they cried playing a video game.
It's entirely possible that I might have.
There you go. See?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. And that was a game that came out like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And we just had a recent sequel that came out that was very successful as well. I tell you, the money that they put in these games is mind-boggling. It's beyond Hollywood money now to make these games.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is look at them and see the production value that goes into them.
It's insane. But, you know... Because of the success of the comic and the games, we're also doing a feature film on this, which we're excited about, through New Regency. Mm-hmm. Our friends over at Mandeville Films, they're producing it with us. Those guys are great. They get this stuff, which is rare, as you know. You know, to hook up with somebody that understands what comic books are.
The amazing thing is in some way, you seem to be busy. To keep busy. A man with, you know, no appreciable talent.
None.
Yeah, I mean, you draw nice.
Totally write that down.
No appreciable talent.
You're a reasonably good guest on a show. I'm just sorry. You two have done so well. I'm so sorry we have such a small audience. There'd probably be three or four people who've listened to this.
Especially now, it's really includes everyone in this.
Our crew outnumbers the viewers. However, the few people who did hear you, I'm sure, have taken every word to heart, and they're going to be better, nobler people for it. You have that way of just making people better people just by associating with you and listening to you, and mainly by being, you know, friendly with Bridget, I would say.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. On that note, cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, great seeing you.
Great seeing you, of course.
There we go. Excelsior. said that before you could shout which plane.
I'll do it.